Spanish is the obligatory response. Okay, the English speaker is Marshall.
I'm recovering as name Marshall. Half family, and I guess I want to thank my higher power for allowing me to have the courage and the willingness to come after the committee invited me to share. I was listening to Clea, and I was just telling him to myself, I say, gee, he said a lot, and I love it. First thing I want to say is that it really doesn't matter how young or how old you are when you get here, because so many of us don't make it at all. You know, some of us stay out there a little longer than others, but we all hurt with the same intensity. I want to share a little bit about where I came from. I was out there forever, and my drug of choice was drugs. I did anything. And I did them for a lot of years. I guess when I was young, my first addiction was fantasy. I always wanted to be a major league ball player, and I worked very hard and diligently at becoming just that. I had a fairly good education, but like I was from a dysfunctional home. My mom, she was a real good lady, and my dad, he was a gambler, and he wasn't abusive, but he was kind of an alcoholic. And we had tragedy in my family at a very young age, and my mom took my sister and I, and she was somewhat like a gypsy. She'd move from place to place, kind of ducking my father. And it wasn't until we moved to another state that I had the opportunity to continue school on a regular basis. And I completed school, and I made all city and all state as a ball player. And I was later on drafted to a major league team. But in between that, I had learned the ways of the street. I liked the glamour of the bright lights. I liked whores. I liked pimps. I liked them big bank rolls and them shiny cars. And very little did I know that the dope was going to take from me everything that we heard that it promises to do today. It took me first, and it took everything away from me, and I started to go to the penitentiary. And I continued to go to the penitentiary. I was the kind of addict that lived to use and used to live. Ain't no doubt when they say who's an addict, that's me. Only had one thing to look forward to, I guess, on a daily basis, and that was get high or go to jail. And I did that, and I did it very well. I excelled in everything that I ever participated in, except killing my fool ass self. I was in a lot of pain. The only difference that I find today being in recovery is that I don't have to suffer. You know, this program offers total freedom from active addiction, but the price is pain. So it just don't make sense for you to come in here and think you're going to slip through here without pain. But I sincerely believe that there is nothing, entirely nothing, that can happen so bad to us in recovery that won't get worse if we pick it up. I do the same thing today that I did when I first was given this gift because this is a gift, unmerited, that is given to a lot of us. Everybody just don't want it. I am not a believer in relapse because I know that we make decisions today. And when we go back out, it's because we choose to get high more than we choose to get straight. This program has given me a new way of life. I've been around, and I go to meetings on a regular basis, and that's what I started out doing. Thank God for the people that were there for me when I came into this program, because I got here the day before I died. I was the kind of addict that did whatever it took to not feel whatever I was feeling right then, if there were any feeling at all. I remember I went from the high rises to the basements, and my hands looked like I was wearing boxing gloves, and I could not wear shoes for 18 months. Sometime I think back, and I'm the kind of person that I don't forget to remember to play the whole tape. I mean, there was a lot of glamour in the beginning and a lot of pain and suffering at the end of my act of addiction. So anytime that I'm left to think, I play the whole tape. And I immediately comes back to reality. You know, I heard a lot of people say that my best thinking got me here. Well, I haven't had to think since I've been here. You people think for me. So when I'm left up to my own thinking devices, the only thing that I know to think about is who got the best thing, where the cop from, who got the works, who I beat yesterday, who I'm going to beat today, who the new police are, who are the stick-up men. You know, that's when you really have to think when you're out there. I know that there are no amateurs in this room right now. Everybody in here professionals. Whatever you did it well to get here. I'm sure that there are no curiosity seekers in here. And I know that if I'm pleased sharing that none of us came in here dancing no jig, comment how sweet it is. We got here in pain. And most of us got here on the same train, pain train. And when they asked me to share about it's never too late, you're never too young and never too old. That's right. I didn't get clean until I was 56, and I'm 64 now. And I feel better at 64 than I did at 24. You know, they tease me, people from my area, they call me Pop, and sometimes I wonder who they're talking about. I say, well, gee, they must be talking about a guy older than me, you know, but they all know that I love them. There's a lady here that's going to share later on this evening that played a great part in my recovery. My sponsor is no longer with me, and it doesn't feel good. My sponsor happened to have been a lady. No barriers from this woman. She knew more about me than any earthly being. I told her everything. And she didn't judge me. She was very spiritual. And I met these two women at the same time, 8 years ago at the World Convention, September passed. And I am so, so grateful. Sometimes I think my high power don't love nobody but me. I didn't get here by accident. I have unshakable faith in a higher power. I have daughters that's active, and I love them very dearly, but I trust that the same power that led me through the things that it led me through will also look out for them. I got a little upset yesterday when I got here because the wreckage of my past cost me $77 at the border. The guy asked me where was I coming from and where was I going, and I told him that I was coming to an NA convention. He said, where is it at? And I couldn't explain to him where it's at. He said, have you ever been arrested? I said, yes. I said, 12 years ago I had a petty larceny. He said, what were the results? I said, I paid a $50 fine. He says, well, he said, this is going to cost you $100. In Canadian money is $77, in American money, you can go back where you came from. And I got angry, and then all of a sudden I got real grateful because it helped me to remember I went many more miles than I traveled yesterday just to get beat. Give a stranger my money and trust that whatever was in that glossine bag was going to fix me. And when I got to wherever I was going, it was a dummy. And not only it happened one time, it happened a lot of times. So I had to remember that Narcotics Anonymous has given me the courage to not use. I believe that I go to the same lengths today to stay clean as I did to use, and that's any lengths. You know, we're talking about being too young, or it's never too late, or all y'all. You know, the newcomer really impresses me. And that's why I continue to go to meetings. Help keep my grass green. It helped me to feel the pain. It helps me to see the suffering. You know, the kind of message to an addict who still suffers, it doesn't mean in his heart, it means when you're out in the street. Show up and let people see that you're clean. Let people see the gift that has been given to you. The program of narcotics will work if you live it. In my area, you know, they say sometime, is there anyone with 6 months or more with working knowledge in the steps that would like to be a sponsor? And hands go up, and I say, we know that that is bullshit because so many of us can't wait to get 6 months to try to tell other people how to run their lives when they're still fucked up themselves. You know, when they talk that 13 step stuff, you know, I just laugh because, you know, you can fuck the newcomers up more outside the bed than you can in the bed. If you don't tell them the truth, you got to tell them the truth, family. You got to tell them and try to show them and hold their hands and babysit them and love them and care about them. You know, when you come in these rooms, most of us are too afraid to be out there and don't know whether we want to be in here. And then we get in here at break time, or, you know, they'll say to the newcomer, you see him, don't mess with him, don't mess with her, and you confuse them. I don't even know why they bother to say no relationship in a year, because we don't listen to that shit anyway, do we? Don't make any major decisions. Well, family, you better make a major decision right away. You better get a higher power as quickly as possible. We don't have no time to wait loving one another. I'm okay with me today. I don't do guilt very well, so I make a lot of decisions, but I am conscious of the decisions that I make. And I'm also willing, after making the decision, to accept the results. And all the time, the decisions that I make are not favorable. But regardless of what the results are, I do not have to use no matter what. I mean, we just don't have to use. At the end of my active addiction, I guess I had been beat down to the ground. I had been in every detox. I had been in every penitentiary. I had been everywhere. And I always would tell myself, I'm going to get straight tomorrow. Every time I would tell myself that I was going to get straight tomorrow, I would take somebody's money. And that would be tomorrow. It wasn't until my best friends started dying around me, getting killed around me. I was with a friend, and he was sick, and he had the dope, and God knows I wanted him to go to the hospital, but I didn't want him to keep him, because if they kept him, I wouldn't have had no dope for Sunday. And most of us know that Sunday is the coldest day in a dope fiend's life. We can't kill nothing and won't nothing die. We know about them Sundays, I know. And he died, and I had all the dope. And a few days later, I went into the cocaine place and to purchase some cocaine with short money. Like most of us addicts, we like to cop short. And when I got the cocaine and started out the place, the proprietor got killed. And I began to overdose. And my mom, God bless her, she just celebrated her birthday Tuesday past, and I know that my higher power has loaned us to each other long enough for me to learn how to appreciate her. When I tell her that I love her today, I don't tell her I love and rob her. You know, I was clean 17 months before she would give me her dope key, and I used to wonder why. I said, gee, why she won't give me a key? Don't she know I'm clean? And as I continued to stay clean, I began to realize that every time I used to hug her and go in the house, I'd walk out with a TV and a pocketbook. And So it wasn't until she started saying, are you going to one of those meetings? And I went to meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting. And what I learned by going to meetings is that those who keep coming out meeting regularly stay clean. I wasn't a part-time dope fiend. I used on a daily basis. Everywhere I went, I used. I found ways and means to use. I went in the penitentiary and I played games with the psychiatrist to get pills. I got a job in the kitchen where the mace and the nutmeg and egg was kept. I became a baker, and I never knew anything about baking anything. unless I got beat and got some of that Pillsbury bacon powder and put in the cooking, it's spot blowing up. Today I really appreciate cocaine, family. I can't see all the beautiful smiling faces out there, but I really appreciate that crack cocaine. Anybody out there know about that crack cocaine? You know, two pokes off that pipe and you hit bottom and you ask for help. And it fills these rooms up right away. I used to get jealous. I said, why did I have to use something that kept me out there for 38 years? And that crack cocaine, that pipe just bring you right in here. Two pokes and here your ass is, sitting up front. Don't waste no time. It really don't. I mean, it don't only have you come up. Looking down at them things that's not there on the floor and pulling the curtains closed and hearing people outside. I mean, that crack cocaine is something, ain't it? And it worked very fast. I mean, that crack epidemic, I mean, was a God sent present to get people in these rooms in a hurry and offer them a new way of life. We don't think about that at times. But I know God don't make no mistakes. And Knockouts Anonymous is just like Ringling Brothers Bombing and Belly. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And if anybody had ever told me that I would have been in Montreal, Canada, talking about how not to use for one more day and how grateful I am to people and this family and this committee that invited me here, I would have thought they were insane. It just wouldn't have made sense. This is the only place in the world, I was telling the addict earlier, that you can come and have your cake and eat it too. Where else can a dope fiend have that? I guess what impressed me more than anything else in the beginning was because they told me to keep coming back. And nobody in the world ever told me to keep coming back. Anywhere. Because I wasn't a very nice guy. I like to take people's money and they dope. That's what I used to like to do. And when I first got clean, I went in the rooms and I saw a lot of them people that I put that pistol in their face and they was hugging me, telling me, I love you. I said, whoa, wait a minute here. How do you love me? You know, they say about making amends and promptly admitting that you're wrong. Today, family, we can promptly admit that we're right. I believe that any addict that does not use for one day, he or she should get on the highest mountaintop and let the whole world know that they can be set free. Using is not a part of my life any longer, and I am so grateful for that. It takes a lot of work to use. It takes more work than coming to these meetings. And it takes a lot of work to stay in here, you know. Because when you first come in, they say the only requirement is the desire not to use. And then when you get up in here, they tell you, get a sponsor, come early, stay late, work the steps. And I have people say, oh, I did 1, 2, 3. And I told my sponsor that one time. She said, you did? I said, of course. She said, well, what I want you to do is just take this piece of paper and write down for me how you felt before you made the decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of a God of your understanding, and how you felt after you made the decision. And 3.5 years later, I was still trying to put it on paper. You know, it doesn't matter, really, what step you're on when you relapse, because it tells me that you didn't do step one. We have to totally surrender. Because all of us in the throne right now, the best con artists in the world, we can con ourselves into believing anything. Because I know we have done it. You know, they say, well, don't take that money there because that's the rent money. And you'll say, oh, yeah, but I can take that rent money and I can go and get a package and I can flip some over and I can use this here and the rent money be back there. And we know that's bullshit. Because when we get the package, we ain't going to stop using, if you like I was, until it's all gone. I was listening to Cleaver talk about, you know, how he used to beat people up and how violent he was. And that wasn't him. Look at him now. He stood up here before all these people just like I did and got humble enough to cry. Got humble enough to let you know what he was feeling. I mean, and I probably don't care nothing about tearing that mascara up and all them pretty faces up anyway. And we come in these rooms and we start looking around, and substitution is one of our biggest addiction after we get in here. So we get to looking at one another, and the ladies get to looking at the men get to looking at the ladies' asses. We done got fat and plump, and they start putting their makeup on straight, and them guys start getting haircuts and shaving their mustache and talking this NA talk, and it sound real good. And before you know it, you forget your primary purpose. And most of us do not know the difference between excitement and confusion. Some of us just don't know that we horny and we want a relationship in the name of we had sex. Well, family, I'm going to tell you one more thing before I... And whatever you do, whatever decision you make towards that relationship thing, because I don't know too much about it, but I do know this much, that only time that I have a hard time in that relationship thing is when my partner won't be like I want her to be, I won't be like she want me to be. Then it's chaos. We do not have the people please today, but if you're going to have one of these NA relationships, you better hear the story. Because you don't know who you're sitting next to, who is sitting in front of you, who's sitting behind you. And when they say that some are sicker than others, that's real. And I'm going to kind of tell you a little something that I guess I really enjoy saying, and that is, I don't know how many of you in the audience was IV drug users. It really doesn't matter, because no one wants to be low man on the total pole.
For the conclusion of this presentation, please turn your cassette over and depress the play button. Do not rewind your cassette.